Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 31 of Utopia to Me with me, your host, Chris Locke. Hi, how's it going? Everything is good over here. I'm drinking a glass of red wine on a nice, sunny, late evening in Los Angeles, Silver Lake to be exact. Looking beautiful outside, nice sunny day, and had a good time, and I'm excited about this episode. It's a really funny comic that I love watching perform live, and you guys can catch him. I think his clip of him on Conan O'Brien is online, but you got to see him. Super hilarious guy. Hampton Yount is my guest, and we had a blast talking. Hampton's a very interesting guy with a lot of ideas and a great sense of humor. And also you can check that out by checking out Hampton's new album on A Special Thing Records, Bearable, which just came out. But you know what? Before you go and check out his album, keep listening to this podcast wherever you are, whether you're flying a plane yourself, or whether you're the passenger, or whether you're a guy on or girl on the grass with shades on looking up at planes fly by. Listen to this podcast and relax and come into Hampton's utopian world ideas and listen to us chat. And we're going to set that off right now. So here he is, the hilarious and very interesting and fun guy, kind man, Hampton Yount. Enjoy. And that's it. We're officially partying now. Isn't this nice?
Woo!
Nice sunny day.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
Yeah, the Terror Dome's beautiful.
Terror Dome's beautiful today in sunny California.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be in a couple years when all the water's gone and we're just like living this Mad Max future. But they'll still have like the phoniness of Hollywood where they're like, welcome to the Terror Dome.
Yeah. They'll like fly celebs into wave and then fly them away again, like from helicopters.
It's George Clooney's head.
Yeah. Can you close the window? There's a draft blowing through the Terror Dome.
Well, this will be a beautiful place to have the apocalypse. LA's so beautiful. It's like you have to be sarcastic about it.
Yeah,
it's
know, because I'm from Toronto, that you know, people talk about the West Coast like it's gonna crack open the great big one or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's like if the earth cracked open and I fell into it while I was like tanning, like having a beer, like who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit, man?
Like
just like the party on Wayne.
Yeah, exactly.
Fall into the
wind. And then Wayne is like, Garth.
Yeah, man, pot's legal, man. Bring on the demons. I don't care.
Yeah. Like you have like, and then you go to hell and then you show them your pot card and you're like, peace.
Whoa. You guys party too? I just flipped down my sunglasses.
You guys can't
for
see
effect.
It, but my guest today just dropped his shades perfectly timed to you guys party too. It's Hampton Yount.
Hi.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for...
This sounded fun, and you seem like a great guy.
So. Yeah. Oh, thanks. Well, yeah, we don't know each other that well, but we've done shows together.
But there's just a natural... We just seem to speak the same lingo.
Oh, yeah. We talk like men?
Talk like men?
Scoob, but you know what? Like, we make each other laugh.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
To a degree.
You make me laugh more.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Man, I watched your first headline set at the Improv, and it was killer. Oh. And the whole time you had to tend to this table of dumb teachers on a vacation. Do you remember that?
Teachers are dumb.
Yeah, man. Yeah, what are you doing?
Man, they seem pretty thick.
Why are you teaching kids? Just party.
I can't understand it. They seem just like very like... My nachos are in front of me, and like,
when you did your pee hole bit, which I don't want to ruin,
buddy. I love that pee hole bit.
Me too. And you know what? It makes me uncomfortable too.
It gets
but
so
in a good way.
That's the whole. You know? Yeah, exactly. They were weird about it. But that's
she
actually.
Was gonna die.
But that's
the
kind
one,
of
the one that I could see was going to die.
But that's kind of like almost the intentional point of all that new material because it's just intentionally almost gross out that way. And I'm talking about how men want to gross out women.
Yeah.
And I can always like talk about their offense or, you know, like just how uncomfortable they are.
Yeah, so it sucks when like a broad audience doesn't get the irony of it and they think you're just being gross.
Yeah, it's like it's more fun to play with it. And I wonder if people will just always think it's like, oh, he's kind of like not just killing this concept, but it's more like it's the concept is just to be kind of weird and playful about your pee hole. like diarrhea and like and then getting weird with it
but that night at the improv show. Exactly, so it was like you had like sort of a you know, weird like broad crowd, but it was killer. Like
mostly broads.
Broad
crowd.
I was trying to pick them up, but
now it was super fun. And like, thank you for coming, because like I was just happy anyone came. And
I got to
see. I lowered the expectations because it was so nice of them enough to like let me do the
comics were the dying show. In the back the whole
comics
time
were I've dying in the back that will sure be on Dana my Gould. Tombstone.
Me too, though. How many
Gould
times have you called
a really
comics
nice email.
Comic?
And I was like,
have you got called a comics comic?
This will be the first time.
Oh, okay. Well, that happens to me sometimes, and I hate that.
I kind of like would agree with it. I would be almost like not saddened by it, but I'd be like, I don't know. Like, I can't deny that. Like, comics are the ones who more often are like, I really liked it, and the audience will be like, that was cool, or they'll be like, that sucked, or you're, you know, the worst thing I've ever seen. But like, you know.
Yeah,
the more positive energy seems to come from comics.
Isn't it nice to do shows and then know you're weeding out the people that say that sucks?
I don't know, man. Once you reach a certain point, also, you're kind of just wondering if you're like not playing into some sort of simple game of mass appeal where you're just like, maybe I don't have to be defiant. And like, it would work out more.
Well, you want more people to like you, but you don't want to like...
You should play to the top top of your intelligence, right? And that's just all it is. It's like, I'm just like, all right, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how many people really want to stick around.
Well, you know I don't know if you remember, there's the joke about the top half of my English muffin gets eaten, and then I liken it to like a giant eating half of the farmer's son, and then trying to trick the farmer like he can still work, you know?
I did that
at Chatterbox last night, but as I was about to get to that, because it was it's out of town, it's Covina, and it was like, you know, sort of more of a suburban bar.
Uh-huh.
As I was getting to that part, the set was really fun, the crowd was great, but they were getting a bit rowdy. And so right when I was getting that analogy, I'm thinking, should I go there with this? Because it's... But then like someone interrupted, like, breakfast rules, right? You know, like, and then I just jumped on him and made all these gags about him, and then didn't go back to do the analogy. Oh. And in a way in my head, I was like, I'm glad I didn't have to sell that weird analogy here. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So like I played to that crowd instead of like doing the weirder shit.
Well, I mean, that I get what you mean, but I think that's just being a smart performer. Like, there's a compromise that needs to happen. Like, you know, maybe if you kill like a smart line in a joke that you personally love and you're just like, they're not going to like it right now. And it's going to actually make this set like dovetail, like or go down. Like, then you're just a smart performer for like adjusting. It would be like a jazz musician adjusting to like some sort of weird, you know, a tray of drinks falls down and then they fucking play the song around it. You'd be like, that's a genius. You know what I mean?
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, because it would
be... Or like some guy yells breakfast rules and then he plays his trumpet in his face.
Yeah, it's like no matter how many like jokes you want to express with comedy, like the number one truth is that it's live performance. So it's like if you're adapting to the live energy, that's always the thing that makes you have the successful, like fun set.
Personally, I've always went that way with... Like I write my stand-up, but then I come from an improv background way back in the day. Yeah. So I love that. I love being
the
live
ones
no
where
matter
you
what.
Just go like, do a really long riff. Or
but what
like,
about you? You're obviously throwing stuff out, riffing all the time. You incorporated that table of teachers pretty well throughout the set.
Well, that's like the fun of whatever the new material is. Sometimes I'm terrible at it, and sometimes it works. But I feel like I want to swim towards it, like whatever that is, of just like going with whatever's happening in the room.
Was it hard to whittle your crazy, like your loose energy like that to a Conan set?
Oh, wow.
Dude, is that weird that
this
I
This is an in-depth interview.
No, we'll get on the fun stuff.
No, honestly,
I just want the people listening to know about your stand-up before we get into it.
I don't know. Like, I feel like they let me do my thing, but I guess, like, you really realize that, like, jokes can kind of become, like, weird ritualistic. Yeah. Like, you know, like how a performer...
I've done showcasey stuff, but I've never done, like, a late night set. Yet,
have you also done, like, bits and, like, in the back of your mind, you're thinking of other stuff, but you're doing the bit on stage?
And it's killing, and then you feel weird.
And, and you feel weird, right?
Yeah,
it's a totally natural thing. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just, like, when you have to get ready for, like, a late night set, it's that to the nth degree where you've run that set 5,000 times.
Yeah,
and then it's like, but it takes on this weird entity of like, once you get beyond like the wording of the joke, because it's so rote, like it's so in your brain,
it
becomes like this prayer thing, like you're almost saying, like it's a repetition, you know, like that's just word for word this way.
Yeah.
And then you're adding in emotion to it and like adding in other layers of like looking a certain way.
Performance.
Yeah, the performance angle.
It
and
is
that's
almost like,
kind of an interesting thing of like a late night set. That's all I can say.
Well, even like I did the West Side Theater the other night, and they were more like, you could tell it was more clubby, like broad audience. And then
that's a great club, though.
It was it was really really
such
fun. But
audiences.
There was a part of me where I was like, you know, I opened weird, and then that split the crowd, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I brought in some like older jokes that I hadn't done in a while that I know would work. But yeah, in the middle of performing them, I'm like switching to like. How do I look like they think I just thought of this? You know what I mean? And it's not like that tired old like showcase shit or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah.
You got to do it though. I
had my jokes and just whatever, you know, they made me kind of get them down to a certain length of time. But there's still a compromise of like, well, it needs this part to work. And, and by the end of it, actually, the guy said to me, he was like, you know, if you want to go over, like he was like with this, it was like because he was like, well, Funches went over, and he's like, and we just put that online, and like, and we showed it or whatever the thing, and it's fine.
Right.
Like, they're kind of really chill about it at the last possible second because you've done so much work leading up to it. They're like, you're clearly going to do your set, but like, if for whatever reason there's like a huge pocket of laughter or something, like you know, just ride it or you know, do your thing.
That's amazing. Yeah, because they know that the internet stuff brings people to their show more than anything now these days, right? Anyway.
Yeah, well,
like people sharing your clips and stuff.
Yeah, it's a real hard market there for that stuff. I mean, like, because, you can't deny it. It's like, it's really like, I don't know, man. Stand-ups care about these sets online. You
it's
know,
weird,
some
right?
bookers, but like, most people are like, who? Like, they don't care. And that's totally fine. Like, I don't care. But it is like, it's just what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. We met a few years ago, a couple years ago, we did comedy in Ottawa at a weird one-off festival. I was a Canadian guy, and then the Americans were you.
Brody Stevens
and Todd Glass.
Oh, they were so funny.
My friend Nick Flanagan from Toronto was on it. I think I'm an Ottawa guy or
great.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's... hey, Nick. And then there was a European guy, Magnus. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He was cool.
Magnus, I checked him out online. Like, I mean, I was thrilled.
He's a celeb over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it was like
huge.
In Europe, right? Not like in Canada.
Yeah, in Europe. Yeah.
Okay.
He's trying to, I guess,
although,
do stuff here.
Hey, man, if you can, that'd be great. I mean, he seemed fine enough. I was just so worried about, like, getting there, doing my set. I had to, like, double back and fly out that night. Like,
that's crazy.
I mean, I was, like... Yeah, stupid. And
yeah, me and Nick went to a diner with Brody Stevens, and that was big for us being like Canadian dudes. But then he, like, we were at this diner, and then he farted, and then.
Yes! Farting. Energy. Bringing it to you. Doing it.
Yeah.
Exploding out of my rear. Throwing the heat.
That's pretty good.
I can do Brody.
A table behind us full of beautiful blonde babes. Yeah, exactly.
What
got happened? Up and moved across the restaurant because of his fart. And then he was like, I'm sorry, it's the medication.
I'm sorry. My mother makes me take a medication. It's explosive. I mean, it's now I'm kind of ruining it. Like, it's not.
No, it's getting like better. It's becoming like an evil Brody.
It's an evil maniacal Brody. Man, so Brody's first thing that I ever saw him do that was the funniest thing in the world was his web series where he gets like interviewed by he interviews the Shadow Man.
I don't
it's
even know
the
that.
The funniest thing. I think it's on early Funny or Die. Like, I believe.
I'm going to look for
it. It's insane. It's so funny.
That sounds wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like 4 minutes. And he's got like 3 episodes.
I thought Funny or Die when it first started, this is a real digression, was going to be amazing. And then it just turned into like mostly commercials for celebs pimping like a movie or something.
What?
Half of it. Oh, no. I'm sorry, Funny or Die. I still want to be on your thing.
Oh, I see.
No, like the, you know, because like if a movie was coming out, then like a celeb would just advertise it in a funny way. Like,
yeah.
By being in a weird sketch.
Yeah.
Because I'm from Toronto, so I'd be like, oh, I'll send videos and they'll discover me. And like this is when it first started. And then they just get buried. Of course.
Yeah.
They got buried. It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't think anybody was
like,
getting jobs by uploading videos to Funny or Die.
I know one person that did.
Call it a rookie.
I know a person that did. It was crazy. But anyways, we met there in Ottawa, and then that was fun. We both like had fun at the show, I guess. And then mm-hmm. we met again now at Power Violence.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a fun show, too. Those guys rule.
Those guys are great. They are incredible.
Yeah.
We're about to leave that venue. So
I know.
It's super sad.
Yeah, that was my second time doing it. The first time I did it a few years ago, it was killer, too. It's really fun.
Yeah, they just put me up in it was like I asked to do it, and then now it's like gone. Like I'm just like upset.
I think they're gonna make it. They'll do something.
No, they're moving. That's right, they're moving. So it'll be great. Yeah, yeah. But it's gonna be like once a month. And
that's it. They'll make it more special.
It won't be the same.
No.
They'll sell it as a TV show or something, I'm sure.
But yeah, so you weren't like fully aware of what this podcast was about when you showed up.
Nope, not at all.
So you're nice. You're kind enough just to agree to do it anyways. But now I'm blasting you in the face with the topics. Do you want to dive into it?
We both got shorts on. I say we talk about some weird shit.
Yeah, man. Dude, I don't care.
It's a sunny day in LA.
People say you can't wear shorts when you do stand-up. Guess what? I fucking
David
do.
Cross. He's the only one.
Really?
He's the only one who's been on TV and multiple times has done stand-up in shorts.
Oh, I don't know about TV, but at just a regular night, I'll wear shorts.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's got a real statement attached to it. And
yeah.
I think, like, he could do it back in the 90s when it was, like, you know, post-grunge or whatever.
Did he have a flannel shirt tied around his waist?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That was kind of like, pants, fuck that authority.
Yeah, yeah.
Check it out.
But
now it's like, pants are cool again.
Yeah.
There's so many lovely pants you could be wearing.
I'll vote again when the president wears shorts.
Yeah. I find wearing a suit on stage to be, it's a little much.
I don't do suits.
I've done it like.
I just don't feel comfortable in a suit.
3-4 times. And it's just like...
How many... Have you done other late nights? I only saw the Conan one.
Oh, other late nights?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Where did you wear the suits?
Just on stage, like for big shows or something. Like I had like... I don't know. Like, man, I've been doing it 10 years, so it's just like weird shit has come up.
Yeah.
One was like a corporate benefit. One was like theater show I did. I was a little younger in stand-up, but I thought it would be a good idea. One time was the first time, which was just to wear a suit to be like, I wonder what this would look like.
Right, right.
You know, as a performer at a kind of just a regular stand-up
Well,
night.
To be honest, I did my first JFL taping last year, and I've seen the footage so far, and it's a really fun set. But I'm wearing an untucked dress shirt over, like, jeans and whatever. And I'm like, I kind of look like a bum. But at the time, I was like, I want to be comfortable. I want to be me.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, everyone's going to see me on TV just being a bum.
Yeah, I really can't figure out what a good look is to be on TV. And I have to record a set coming up. I've been thinking about it. I was like,
just wear the tuxedo t-shirt.
Fuck it. Yeah.
And actually don't ever do that.
Sleeveless.
Yeah.
Hulkamaniac t-shirt.
Okay, so we could start off then with the utopian world. I'm just going to stab in the
special
dark.
Request, just edit out everything we've been talking about up until now.
Yeah. I'll just throw
I can't
this.
Have this coming back to bite me.
When this is done, I'm throwing it in the garbage, don't worry. What kind of environment would you like to live in? In your utopian world?
Do you mean like weather-wise environment?
Yeah, like actual physical.
Like how does this start? Do you go like super broad where you're like first start with the weather and like what does space look like?
It's like, yeah, start with the weather, then how do you deal with murderers?
Oh, shit.
No, I don't know. how do you solve crime? No, whatever.
I don't know.
Do you have any blanket ideas of what the world
I just
would be
know
like?
Humidity would be gone.
Humidity.
Humidity is a real killer. Like, yeah, it's just such a bummer.
Makes me sweat like crazy.
Makes everyone sweat like crazy, dude.
Oh, really?
It's like living in sweat. Yeah, it's just, it's just an odd thing to deal with.
I hate it.
From Virginia, so it's just like a real like wall would hit you and you'd want to go back inside immediately. Like, I can I love a desert, you know?
Yeah.
I like a nice Arizona kind of heat.
Yeah.
And I like California and everything.
So Arizona, I've never been there. It's not humid.
I mean, it's easy to be like, well, I like pleasant weather.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so.
But I mean, kind of like rain too, you know?
We're in Virginia.
I
kind of
love
from?
Rain, actually. What?
We're in Virginia.
Warrenton, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of just northern in the middle.
I stayed in, I worked on a project for a month in, what's it called now? The one right outside where the graveyard is. Outside of Washington, where the graveyard is.
Oh, the Arlington Cemetery?
Arlington.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, I stayed where the graveyard is in Virginia.
Oh, yeah, Arlington. Well, Arlington's got a lot of like awesome venues and that super dope grave.
Yeah.
That super dope grave site.
Yeah, that's
it's
where
so
I stayed.
Big. No, graves are so morbid, like when you drive by them. Like, that's one thing that wouldn't be in my world is giant grave sites.
Yeah.
Like,
they're a little ostentatious.
Like, yeah, I would love like an art project that's big, you know, but like I think like when you see that many like dead bodies just lying,
and then
up,
it just says John on it. You're like, screw you, John.
You're like, who?
Yeah.
Who? Why is this here? It's so morbid.
Yeah,
it's like he didn't even die there.
Yeah,
you're just like, here's 5,000 of people.
Yeah.
And here's their name, and here's their religion, and here's like a little quote.
Yeah.
And you can go look at that.
It's a lot of space.
It's so much fucking
space. What do you
want to
do? You want to get burned up?
Beautiful land every time. You never build a gravesite like in a shitty, you know, area.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's like a beautiful, it could be a golf course.
Yeah, it could be a lovely golf course. Dig up grandma. I want to play golf.
Yeah, with grandma.
With grandma's bones, her femur.
Yeah. Grandma's femur, the putter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm anti-graves, anti-swamp ass, anti-humidity.
It's true, man. Sometimes, there's been humid weather where I've done, just talk to a girl and then I'm soaking wet and I'm like, I'm so sorry. And then she runs away screaming and case closed.
Well, I sweat like a fucking, I don't know, like a crack baby. Like, it's fucking bad. Like, through my shirts all the time. So just in Virginia, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
And it's a real bummer because it's like there's so much. I love all the green that grows there and all like the beautiful stuff that happens in the fall and the spring.
Yeah.
But like the humidity between spring and summer is just like brutal.
Yeah. Same in Toronto.
The snow is like ungodly when it gets like bad in the winter. So that's the kind of worst thing is we get like Florida, you know, like days where you feel like you're in Florida, like swamp, and then days where it's like blizzards 8 feet.
Yeah.
Like so it's kind of the worst of, but you get all this wonderful green. Like the trees are just beautiful and like, you know, everywhere.
Toronto's slightly similar to that.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember noticing that when I was coming in a cab, like I was talking to the driver, like I was like, it's just beautiful. Like,
oh, yeah,
these
you did
trees
shows
remind
there, right?
Well, yeah.
In Toronto?
No, sorry. I'm thinking of Ottawa. Sorry, I got confused.
That's okay. But did you do Toronto? Ever play it? Because we have that festival now, JFL 42.
I don't know. No, I haven't. I've
you should.
Been to Toronto as a kid because my mother is Canadian.
Are you funkin' serious?
Are you funkin' Wagnalls?
Really? Where's she from?
Quebec.
Oh my
she's,
god.
She's from like Hull.
Sweet.
And you know,
right by Ottawa.
A lot of my family is from there. Anyway, I don't want to go too much into it, but they're from Canada.
Anyways.
Interesting. They love it and I love Canada. I mean, it's wonderful.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to make it about that.
Canada? In a lot of ways, I mean, like I love also say here's kind of a problem with California, right?
Yeah.
Is it's a newer city.
Yeah.
And it's like the history of this city is only like 100 years old, maybe less. I think it's less than 100 years. And I'm used to like seeing brick and houses made of like old stone and stuff like that coming from like colonial but also Civil War like era towns like are very prolific in Virginia and like you also go up to Canada as a kid and you see all these wonderful, like, you know, cathedrals and
right,
and
especially Montreal. Yeah,
yeah, Montreal's got amazing.
So, well, if you watch old silent movies, from like 100 years ago that were filmed right here, there's nothing. That's 100. You can actually watch the movies where it's nothing.
Sunset Boulevard was like orange crops and shit.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane.
Yeah,
it's insane. And then to be like, this is, you know, all the palm trees I heard were like planted.
Yeah,
like they're not natural. It should be desert. I know, for the most part.
That makes me sad.
I think it actually is kind of inspirational because it's like, it's a test.
If palm trees can make it here, so could
dude,
I.
Dude, this town is an illusion.
Yeah, I know.
And therefore, it's like, how cool is that backstory to that kind of town? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like if Vegas was like established on a bet.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like Hollywood is established on like fake.
Isn't that insane?
Fakery.
I know.
You know? And changing, like, Hollywood Land, and then Hollywood, like they changed the monument or whatever, and like,
yeah, well, even seeing plastic surgery shops just out in the open, everywhere, it makes me feel weird.
It's like the test. It's like the petri dish for like narcissism. Like, you, this is like the grand social experiment. As much as like
weird.
The Netherlands are like the social experiment for like drugs and like justice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is where like you create the new ego and the new like way of speaking and the new like pop culture and stuff like that, and it infiltrates the entire world out from Los Angeles.
That's amazing.
It is kind of cool. I mean, like, you know, it's like this, you can't deny it's like this weird industry that's like, if you were to think of it like steel, it's like movies are like an industry and there's decisions, but it's based on like people's dreams and like what they want.
It really affects the whole world, especially since like they churn out movies that they don't even give a shit how they do in North America anymore.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They
China,
sell them to
all that market. Yeah. Like, it's all that market. I love to say market. Market, and I like to say fast casual dining. It's the two whitest things.
We gotta market this fast casual.
I mean,
dining.
It's like, I think I don't know. I'm just really interested in this stuff. I mean,
I think it's cool.
I think it's interesting.
It's nice
to
meet an interested person.
No, dude.
Most people are just they're like, I'm going to sleep, and
I'm gonna be a robot and go to sleep, eat my nuts and gears.
Imagine robots were invented to sleep in front of us. You're like, this kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's like the first robot that has sentience that you're supposed to fuck, but then it just grows tired of you and stops fucking you.
Would there
robot.
Be robots and technology in your utopian world? Some
no,
people hate that
not,
shit.
Not really. I mean,
are you more like you'd like to return to like
if
natural
people
world?
Create it, I guess. Like, that's their prerogative.
Well, that's nice of you.
I don't
it's
know.
It's your perfect world, though. You can tell them whatever.
I guess, I don't know. Like, well, then. I'm going to tell them what to do, how they should live.
You could have a law, no robots.
I don't know. Like, I guess, like, you know, malicious behavior would be mostly removed from whatever society I would create. So hopefully what, like, they would just make robots that fucking fuck us and, you know, make
robot
like,
cops.
Like, I always felt like, you know, whatever in the future movies, isn't it where it's like Star Trek. Nobody really has a job that they need to have, you know, you're in Starfleet because it's just for the betterment of everybody, and it's like everybody chilled out.
Yeah,
like I kind of just think of Star Trek as like the prime example of where a society
is. Data there or not?
Data's there, but exactly like in Star Trek, like it's super chill, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just like this one dude made a robot.
Yeah, like Data, where are you going to bed? Yeah.
We're not giving Dana nearly enough credit for the evil fuckery he did in that series, man. He would get programmed all the time to do insanely bad shit.
Yeah.
And then there was that movie where he kind of flipped out and he wanted to grow, or he got skin.
Was that Bjorg?
Bjorg?
I just called it.
The Borg. The Bjorg. The Bjorg and Fjorgen who live in space. We're here to put the technology inside your oculars. Me and my brother always used to joke about the Borg a lot growing up because we'd be like Picard when he became Borg.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, I am Locutus of the Borg.
Yeah.
Which, that was not a bad Patrick Stewart. Now
that's
that
really good. Who else can you do? Can you do Worf?
Worf. Captain, I can't do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't do
Galactus. Worf is the most character that repressed things to just get by. Right?
It's a Klingon ritual.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like,
but I'm sorry. But
everything. Well, Worf, like, really
almost has like
this,
Ralph there from the Muppet Show.
Waiter, there's a fly in my soup.
Oh, that's pretty good. Worf, yeah, had this weird thing about him, which was like he's established as this big tough guy, which in space is kind of stupid.
But
like,
that's what
like,
I mean.
I got muscles. Just... And then he gets knocked out every time as to show that the new villain is tough. Like if the Kardashians come in, which I love that that was the name of an alien race. And now it's like an alien race that's killing us in real life.
I didn't even put it together because of the C. It's a C, right?
Yeah.
And you heard it here first.
Yeah, and then they like punch him in the stomach and be like, oh, Priya, my Klingon stomach. Like, oh, it hurts so much. And they'd be like, yeah, eat it, Worf. Eat your own dick. And
but maybe that was also to show that Worf had become a puss hanging out with these white boys.
Yeah. Well, I always felt like Deep Space Nine gave him back his balls.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I very loosely watched Next Generation, but I really watched Deep Space Nine. And wow, like, Worf is all about pussy in that one. But nah, he's also just like a fucking...
Is he a Lothario in Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, he's like second in command when he comes on.
And he's just like, baby.
Is he like, baby?
Yeah, he gets married. He gets married to a girl who has a dude's soul inside of her. So it's kind of this... I mean, Star Trek's always been super liberal. This is what I'm talking about. It's like, this is
so your utopia
my
is Star
utopia,
Trek.
It just has an implied liberalism to it.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't, I mean, I feel like malicious.
But you're not in
like
space. You're on
behavior.
Like a nice, like you want to be in a desert country like California.
Yeah, I guess.
Or do you want to fucking just go to space?
No desire to go to space.
Okay.
I don't think.
Let's just, yeah, okay.
I don't think any desire to go to space. It seems cold and unfun.
Yeah.
Know? Like,
I don't like
astronauts.
Just...
Astronauts have to be prepped for so many fucking years to spend, like, you know,
that spinning
a week,
thing? Forget
you know?
It.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I'm talking
it
about?
It sounds like...
From Spies Like Us, where they spin around forever? Yeah. Forget that. I don't like the idea of space because I don't like the idea of not being able to just go out for fresh air.
Yeah, exactly. That would kill me.
Like they'd be like, take this can of fresh air.
Yeah, you like, know how, like, in most scenarios for, like, war or space or submarine travel, like, they have a lot of people go, well, if this happens, then people go crazy. Yeah. I would just be the guy who goes crazy.
Yeah.
In all those scenarios.
I'd go
I'm
crazy
the most
if I was in
anxious
a submarine
person.
For 1 minute.
I'm the most anxious person in the world. Like, you know, like, I would just let all that
we'll
shit
see.
Well, my utopia basically is just everybody chill out.
Yeah.
Leave me semi-alone.
Yeah.
And I'm cool.
Would you have like a sort of special mellow zone where you go and hang? And
yeah.
What would it look like?
I don't know, like desert or...
Desert?
Desert with rocks, you know, like...
Meditate? Do you meditate?
Sometimes if I have the time, I mean, it's hard.
I really want to meditate, but I get so anxious even trying to meditate. Huh. I'm like, I can't. Like in the moment, I can't even relax.
It's hard. And I mean, I don't think anybody's like... perfect at it, you know. I think that's kind of
I guess that's the point, right?
That's the point, you know. And I think it's just about like trying to center yourself. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if it's a Star Trek world, like how much, you know, bad shit's happening my way.
Yeah.
But you know, you see how like man, this is gonna go really heavy on Star Trek. But
it's
I feel
cool.
like that guy had a good you know, Gene Roddenberry, right? Wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
He had a pretty good ethos to like humanity and like for how like culture itself should go and you know, like he was breaking ground in the beginning and like so I don't know, like when you see look at those planets, it's very like peaceful. You kind of just do something just because it's a work of passion.
Yeah.
And I feel like that will lead, you know, people. And now the real problem is they never say in Star Trek, of course, like what the solutions are to like, you know, food and pollution and stuff like that. But if like there were ways where it wasn't a problem, like what's the quality of the planet and where is food going to come from and where, like, just simple things that most humans deserve, you know? It's just like, once that's all taken care of, like, then what would happen to the planet? It would probably be just about exploration and about being like, you know, improving.
And that's a point where you would like to live in, like,
that'd be cool. Yeah. In an age of like almost a second renaissance of humanity.
Like, yeah.
You
when
know?
You go on like the internet. Yeah. I'm with you. When you go on the internet in the morning, you get a mixture of articles of like water found on this moon of Jupiter. Could it sustain life? And you're like, neat. And then you read the article like children destroyed in Syria. And you're like, why?
We're
would
never
we...
going to get to that planet.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of like.
But also, even if life forms came to our planet, we can't meet them.
I also get mad at
as
like,
a bunch of fighting idiot siblings.
I get mad at like people who are liberal and into science like me who like to talk about like, you know, oh, this planet's got this new thing, like, so we're going there. Like, yeah, it's just to me the same as religious people who are like, well, when we're all in heaven, it's going to be okay. Yeah. Like, it's like you, but the you could make heaven on earth sort of thing. It's like, yes, but like, we should all just only be focusing on like trying to fix the broken kind of machine before we take it to other planets. Like,
in a way, don't you think that that's sort of what's happening with the planet right now? But the reason why there's wars is because it has to be one side's way to coalesce.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking creepy?
It's very creepy because it's like, it's a weird dividing of like humans. Like, it's like if you were to look at, you know, the Earth from space, you'd be like, well, there's no point for anybody on that same like planet to kill another person.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's just sharing the same cage. Like, it's just a really big fucking cage.
I know.
This, and it's just like, you know,
this is going to be the podcast where we both freak the fuck out.
We both freak the fuck out.
Get me out of here.
Get me out of this fucking cage.
Yeah, we're basically like,
I mean, that's a grim way to look at it, but I mean, life is beautiful and all the wonderful things, but it's also like, you know, to acknowledge that it's like,
but this, you know, to simply say from our Western thought, like, we have to all come to some agreement so that we could meet space like as a coalescing theme thing, and then, but basically we're telling people to like, hey, fuck all of your values.
There needs to be a one world kind of government, like, as weird and dire as that sounds, it's like at a certain point
utopia
that does
like
need to happen.
Is a dystopia.
At a certain point, it does need to be, and I feel like a democracy is becoming more and more achievable with just like digital. You know, like everybody can have access to like giving their say. You
maybe
know?
Anonymous will be like the one world leader,
dude.
Just the Guy Fox mask telling us.
I believe that Kanye West is anonymous.
Oh, shit.
After that last post, I was like, this is Kanye West. I don't know if he's doing, I mean, he's definitely not all of Anonymous. But it's so funny that it's like, I was talking somebody.
I didn't read about that. What exactly happened? Like, they said, Kanye, you gotta calm down.
Yeah, but I feel like also, like, anybody can be anonymous. Like, that's the point. And it's like, so it's not just the group. Like, why would they give a shit about what Kanye was? Like, they're like, he's too narcissistic. And it's, this is kind of exactly what we're talking about, which like this weird narcissistic culture. But it's like, is it fair to vilify Kanye West?
Right.
It's like, yeah, I mean, like, what, he's not like superhuman, he's not a lizard, like, what, you know, like, what's your beef with him? He's a very successful musician who's put in this incredibly unusual situation,
right?
It's like, does he freak out a little? Yes, but he also makes huge albums that sell across the entire world. His mind must be blown on a day-to-day basis. Like, he is a genius.
Yeah.
He sees music.
The only thing that sees
like he has like sense of phony or whatever. Like,
the only thing that makes me uncomfortable, and I've talked about this with other people before, I love the music, or I love his production. I think he's an amazing producer. He's obviously figured marketing out to the nth degree, but like, being like a guy that's insecure himself, him being so outspoken, that's what makes me uncomfortable.
The braggadocio.
So I can't hate someone
of a rapper.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, when I was a kid, rap was the king. I loved every rap. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's true. The older I get, the more I'm like, guys, keep it down. I'm nervous.
We're trying to rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's funny and true. I mean, I mean, you see, I mean, it's also like art just is kind of like whatever you want it to be. Yeah. And if his braggadocio is kind of a part of a character, it's just like his right. I don't know. Like, it's just so weird to me because I'm like, but that is what Kanye West is.
Yeah.
It's like, what is him being humble?
Yeah.
What is that? We've never really seen
that would suck,
it.
Right?
Like, he was saying on Through the Wire, he's like one of the best, and his mouth was wired shut.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the whole game of rap is like, I'm the best. And it's kind of a positive thinking thing, which is also very foreign to maybe white people.
No, it's true.
I'm the shit. I'm the best.
I totally
deserve
get those
this.
Points.
I deserve everything that's coming my way. You know, like, That almost sounds outlandish and super narcissistic, but it's also just positive thinking.
One of the best rappers ever in the 80s, two of them, you could just say is like Rakim and say Kool Keith. Mm. And they both bragged in weird ways. Rakim sort of started the like getting paid in full, like getting cash, gold chains thing. And Kool Keith was the abstract guy who'd say like, you know, I can't even think of a lyric right now, but he'd say like,
"That's so interesting.
I'm a supreme train conductor engineer."
But it's kind of those two worlds.
Yeah. And so I love that as
around
a kid,
the same time.
But then like, what Kanye and Jay-Z and those guys did with bragging got to a point where it's super real. And that it is. It is uncomfortable for maybe like a white person.
But maybe like, it just gets, I don't know, like,
because you think it's superficial,
like you have to raise
but it's
the
not
bar.
Superficial because you don't get that sort of, you don't get that desire because you've got the white privilege thing or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so you're like, guys.
Guys.
Money is
guys,
bad.
We're supposed to be ashamed.
Money is the root of all evil, but I have some, but still.
Shame.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just negative, right?
Yeah, but when I'm a kid, I'm like, do, 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 cha-cha-cha. You know what I mean? Like, like yeah, shaza. All right. Well, that got digressed, but also
I thought that was interesting.
I think it's totally about it's exactly the topic because you're getting to this pinnacle of thought in your you're sort of attacking
like
your
seems,
utopia
like
in the coalescing of thought with humans, and I really like that. That's a different angle.
Well, like, I mean, yeah. I think that's like the purpose of like humanity almost is like eventually we're going to hit like a singularity just like with technology. Like if we've embarked on like consciousness, you know, like humans, we started, we separated from apes and then like we started evolving this. It's going to reach a logical end kind of like where we all are so joined. I probably can't even conceive it. I don't
fire.
Think it's going to be like telepathy. It's almost going to be like we just have such an in tune empathy, which
it could
has been
be a cyber assisted telepathy. You know, like the everyone thinks we're going to half turn into cyborgs.
Yeah, if we were like monkeys on typewriters in a room for infinity, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the actual reality is because of decisions we've made, like to the world, like we'll probably be out of here within like 25 years or something.
Yeah,
like it looks kind of grim, and I don't know what the solutions are. But I feel like if humans were allowed to just progress, like. Eventually, it would just become very harmonic, and like we would all kind of be in tune together.
I would love that. I just that makes me picture like a white man and a brown man in a robe with long beards
finally hugging,
shaking hands, being like, "Thank you, thank you." You know?
Dude, what? You act like you're like, wow, maybe it was some sci-fi year 3000. I could shake a black man and understand.
Thank you,
dude. I just do that. That's
no, they're just like different areas of thought. I've shaken black man's hands before it rules.
Well, it's like gonna happen in the same way that like we're just gonna fuck ourselves into kind of a general I don't know, like gray or brown color. Like
maybe that's why Walking Dead is so popular, because Rick is so severe.
Uh-huh.
But that's what the weirdly like that's what they're covertly trying to tell us is like, you gotta get severe soon, dudes.
You
like,
gotta
kill
severe.
The shitty dude.
Yeah.
Kill the shitty one that's bringing you down. And which
well,
is, like,
you know, I'm not like pro death, but like, I feel like incentives are great ways to
lead
humanity down paths.
I just watched the latest episode and I'm like, why am I still watching this?
No shit.
It's so
it's
evil.
Like, it's like good, but like, it's hard to stay in. Like, they gotta re-engage me as a viewer a little bit.
Well, now it's almost like, are you caught up at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so you know, like Rick's kind of the bad guy now.
Yeah. Are we supposed to? Well, I mean, I read the comics a long time ago, and like, I didn't want to necessarily ruin it.
That's all. That's all I'll say is like, but you can't tell.
No.
It just seems
honestly,
like the decisions are getting harder.
He's not
that's
a
all.
Bad guy. He's a realist. That's the whole point of like, you know, that series, and I love it. I mean, he's just like the most. He's putting aside all delusion, you know, that he's had for so long. And it's like, well, maybe we can make rules this way, or maybe we can have a society this way.
Yeah.
And it's just like, survive, you idiot.
Yeah.
It's the one thing. It's never not been that. It's always been survival. And if you had just done that, your wife would be alive, you idiot.
Yeah, you fucking...
You fucking idiot.
Moron.
Fucking moron.
Rick, get that shit out of here
with your dead wife.
Yeah, put your gun in your own butt.
Hey, Rick, put a gun in your butt.
Hey, Carl, shoot your dad.
Is his name Carl or is it Coral?
Coral.
Coral.
C-O-R-R-R-R-R-L. Oh, I love this discussion. Is that business? You got to go?
No, I guess someone just texted me an interesting...
So you think there should be a one unified sort of government sort of person, or not government, wise sage? Yeah.
Well, like a federation or, you know...
Right, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah, like, you know, whatever. Like an old Senate.
Who would choose the federation?
What? Who would choose?
Who would choose it? Would the people choose?
Yeah, people.
The electives?
People vote your
like a democratic election.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like democracy is the most, like, on paper, it makes the most functional sense, but then it's totally open to corruption.
Democracy's been misinterpreted and misrepresented as much as communism.
Oh yeah,
in
absolutely.
A weird way, right? No one's sort of done it exactly right yet. Yeah.
Well,
maybe early.
Communism is actually more. I mean, we're really talking about socialism and democracy, or fascism and democracy are the two separates. But communism is more the opposite of capitalism,
right?
Which is what we identify as democracy. A lot of times, it's your right to earn as much money as you want.
Yeah.
And you know what? That makes zero fucking sense because you shouldn't be allowed to just, you know, kind of have free will of the market and like destroy lives because, you know, the end goal is money, money, money.
Well, it turns into like a sort of
fascist thing. It becomes a weirder, worse, you know, kind of thing because it's coming from...
Which is what everyone's sort of thinking is what's going on now, right?
Yeah.
They're like, please, sir.
So, you know, democracy at its heart is just people vote and you get a say.
That's my how as political I get. People now are all like, please, sir.
If in the future, if you could make it somewhere where it's like, you know, hey, we've all got devices in our hands right now.
Yeah.
And I can't help but notice as I go down the street that it's almost weird for you not to have your phone.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be weird for you not to have a device. It's only going to get more so. So if we just have this accessibility to a large net, a large thing that we're creating that's joining us all.
The singularity.
Dude. We're going there. So basically, like, you know, just imagine 1,000 years down the line, you know, then we have this ability to just communicate thought and, you know, like, or what your desires are in a way where it can't be stolen or changed, you know, by like corruption or something like that. Like your vote would be clearly read and interpreted. Your free will as a human being is like getting represented directly to some sort of representative who works for another representative, and then you have like basically a common goodwill being, you know, pushed forward.
Could that still happen if we're in this weird sort of singularity sort of Borg-like connection?
It doesn't have to be Bjork. Baby Bjork. Yeah. If you had a baby Bjorn and it had a little baby Borg in it.
Hi.
Yeah. Lakutus of the Borg.
So cute. How old is it?
Lakutsi of the Borg.
I feel like a big thing
with like my views on like the future and stuff is like I always go if I could conceive of how things are going to happen, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to hit you from a way like you can't expect. But I feel like the general thing is going to, I mean, we either have to kind of link up or we're just going to burn out.
Yeah.
And if, as long as we're talking about the utopia idea, like,
yeah,
you know, I really hope humanity like really coalesces together. Yeah. 'Cause I think there's nothing more beautiful than when like, you know, people are just being wonderful to each other, and like, you know, there's like you communicating with a stranger and like, you know, finding some sort of weird connection is like,
imagine I started crying. I've never. I really love that.
Let's bring it out of you.
No, I love it.
How are we going to get you to cry?
The guest is supposed to cry. Damn it!
Damn it!
No, I love that. I think that's a really not that hasn't come up on the podcast before, and I've never brought this up on the podcast before. But it's a thought I have all the time. Do you ever kind of get stressed that you're not going to be able to see what the future turns out like? I do all the time.
No, because I would rather just kind of separate myself from all of humanity and drift away. I feel like
you think humanity should come together, but you want to get the hell
like
out of here.
My pessimism is more like I'm just like I want it to be this way, but I feel like with each year I see things get kind of worse and worse.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, man, I don't want to be associated with these monsters.
Yeah, rich country, poor country, whatever. It's the same monster techniques are being used in every across
Absolutely.
The land. It's really crazy.
I was having that kind of discussion with my brother where I'm just like, man, it just seems like morality is so subjective.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like...
Oh, yeah. ISIS thinks they're doing the right thing.
ISIS thinks they're doing the right thing. We think we're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
we're,
yeah.
At the end of the day, like, bodies are just dying. The one thing that's happening is humans are dying.
Yeah.
Nothing's getting solved. Just people die because we kill each
exactly.
other.
Exactly.
So it's like, I just
we just
see kind
and these
of
devices that you bring up that we have, like we are filming stuff all the time now. We get instant access to atrocities more now, but it doesn't change. It just means that we see it more, you know?
Well, that's actually interesting that you bring that up because he brought that up too. And
yeah.
His belief is that like that will make everybody, we're all getting more in tuned. Like the reason that civil rights has been able to progress further and further and get so much better and like it's generally getting better like and it's because we're becoming more aware and in tune and connected and it's like
sometimes I wonder like do you think people actually want to help and change the world or do you think deep down it's like a self-serving egotistical thing
I don't know maybe age and you know like is a factor there because when you're young you're like you believe
idealistic.
Anything's possible, and you don't even believe you can die. So there's almost like the selfish thing of like, I want everything, and like anything's like, there's no end to the potential. So
right.
But then like as you get older, you kind of like see the value in just every day. Like if everybody gets along, it's you know nicer.
I
would I'd be fine with nothing as long as I just was like you know happy with friends and like you know I like to create the things that I like. You know, for because it's fun.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to work a day job anymore.
Me neither. No, I know, but like it's just that like in Facebook always is like every day, every other link that's been posted by someone that you don't really know at all is about like look, we're not doing like shaming you into not doing anything about the world. And it's like, well, what are you doing really?
I'm like, spreading awareness.
Yeah, exactly. I'm making people in my vicinity
making
laugh.
Everybody know.
I feel like making people in your vicinity laugh and relax is actually
a
really good thing.
There's good stuff to stand up.
It's
not just a weird personal hell that you invite yourself into.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like stand up is I was telling my friend
I sometimes completely forget that you're performing for just people.
Yeah.
Who just want a night out.
And they very
they
much enjoy it, usually.
They don't understand any of the weird drama you're thinking about.
No, no.
Why you suck, how your jokes are repeating from last time. They're like, I need a good time out.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't give a fuck at the end of the day. Like, that's like their good time is not supersede my good time. Because, like, at the end of the day, the performer is, like, the heart of the thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is important to remind yourself that it's like, you know, they just want to have a good time and that connects you. And, you know, like if you get less beholden to how your set's going to go, then you create this really wonderful connective moment in the room. And that's kind of why I also love stand up. Like it does bring out that weird thing in me that I love, which is just when a whole room is connected. You'll never laugh more than when you're in a stand up room and it's intimate and it's like packed and just someone's killing on like a thing. Like there's no, you can't laugh more. Like I've seen people cry, fall out of their seats, like almost vomit. Like It's insane.
Almost vomit?
Yeah, for real.
Was like, it the beehole joke?
not my jokes. I'm just joking. Not, guys, buy my new album, Barrymore.
Oh, yeah. I'll promote
like
that.
Like, if I use that as a segue, nobody's ever laughed that hard at my jokes. But
yeah.
But I've seen, like, I've been in rooms like that, and it's just so much fun, and, like, you see this kind of, like, amazing potential that stand-up has as a communication tool.
Yeah.
It's just one person communicating.
We're in my 20s, I was really absurd and abstract, and I was like, because I'm an artist, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then I remember, you know, I had a group of I had a type of audience that I would kill at, and then I couldn't really go outside of that type.
Yeah.
And then I was reading this book, like, years ago, like, Hello, I Must Be Going, about Groucho Marx. And he says one thing in it, like, one of his quotes is just, like, if you choose to be a in regard to the audience, he's like, if you choose to be a performer, then be a performer. Mm-hmm. And just that simple idea, I was like, and it made me, like, be less self-indulgent and cocky. And
sure, I think everybody's got that when you're starting out.
Yeah, you kind of need that to get going, but then mm-hmm. you need to get that hit, too, of, like, change. Yeah, like,
was that a
bro,
change.
Hey, bro, change. Yeah, I'm from Canada. That sounds sort of like
the most racist thing that happens in Canada.
Yeah, I didn't mean it to be like that. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just joking. Guys,
but it is. Robin Williams jumped on one of our shows one time, like in Toronto, when he was filming a movie. And RIP, I guess, but like. I mean, for real, not I guess.
Dude, I'm going to blaze some fucking pot for old Robbie Williams right now.
Oh, yeah, do it. But, like, I feel so bad about saying it that way. But I got to admit, you know, half of his set was in that old school Native American.
And it went south, or did it go well?
It went well for the people that were just there to see him.
Uh-huh. But then all the,
like, as a celeb,
all the younger comics were like, whoa.
Yeah. And even like regular people that don't care about celebrity that much.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? I think, well.
Here, I'll hold this.
I think, oh, sorry. Yeah. I don't think anything malicious, of course, of that. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's a time and a place thing.
Yeah, and he's from like the he was do that in the 70s. He'd be like,
yeah, Bill Burke kind of talks about it in his new special. It's like,
yeah,
like, what do you expect out of
I love,
like,
that
people
bit.
Who are older. It's like,
yeah, yeah,
it's like, what, dude, they're not on Jezebel every day. Like, they're not at the forefront of like the liberal thought movement. As much as I am, like, you know, of that ethos, it's like,
me,
you have to be a realist about society.
No, me too, but sometimes that shit. The nonstop internet articles made by amateurs that are super, like, fist wavy. They won't, obviously, because you're a nice person, you care about people, but they almost want you to go the opposite way just to be like, shut up. Do you know what does that make sense?
Make your point more.
Like, yeah, I'm bad at making points, but the thing is like,
I was distracted by my weed. That's
yeah, super ranty, like fist weight pumping, like we need to change, and this is like PC and how you do it. Sometimes
which
gives
fine,
me the instinct to fucking want to go the other way and like say something
as
racist, sexist,
as
and be
a
like,
knee-jerk contrarian.
Yeah, exactly. But
honestly,
I don't
that just comes from a stand-up comics like perspective of always. Perpetually being the contrarian when you're growing up,
like, and I don't like
you're
being
the
told
one
what
who's
to do.
At odds. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You don't want to follow anything. And,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's like, I think I'm sure if you were to like tell him in a polite way, like he'd go, "Oh my god, I'm so like." There's no malicious behavior. It's more like he thinks that's funny, and no one's probably stopped him to been like,
"Yeah,
hey, don't do that," because he's Robin Williams, and no one's taken him aside to be like, "Hey, don't do that."
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's just like. Of course he thinks that way, but I'm sure he's such a beautiful human that like he would immediately, you know, retrofit to accommodate people's like hearts. Like, you know, like he wouldn't do anything
that's
malicious.
A nice thing to say. You know, that's a really nice
All right, gonna blaze it up for old Robbie Williams one more time. Hold my yeah. mic.
Because a lot of people in their sort of like righteous modern mindset don't give him that out or that sort of credit like you just did. That's very nice because
well, do you have like, any members of your family who are like a little suspect or racist?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do I give them the out every time
yeah, yeah.
with the conversation? Was like Just extend that same courtesy to most people. Just that, understand intent, because I feel like.
I think we get it. It's just that there's so much cynicism attached now, like, you know. Yeah,
and you know, like, people are totally inclined to their, you know, like, outrage.
Yeah.
And their, like, belief, but it's also like he kind of has to be told for it to become a thing. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to do comedy over many years and stay like relevant of what's like relevant in comedy or what's going on, like, and your audience is older. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, what a tightrope act.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Robin. Jeez Louise, I wish I could go to heaven right now and
kiss you on the mouth.
Yeah, kiss your beard from Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Actually, I have it right now. It's on my face.
You do have a wonderful beard.
Oh, thanks. Well, let's summarize what we've, like, okay. Basically, you want Star Trek.
Sure.
You want, like, the world to coalesce into a peaceful thought.
Yeah, of, the Earth and Star Trek that they never really show.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing that I really love about Star Trek that they showed in that remake one was silent motorcycles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his motorcycle at the beginning is like... And I was like, dude, we need... Like, I hate motorcycles so much.
Yeah.
And it's such a loud thing. Like, I want people to enjoy a motorcycle, but it's like, do you have to ruin everybody's good time?
Yeah.
That's like almost like a thought put into that thing there. You know what I mean? Like, it could have been a big blasting motorcycle thing for effect, but it's almost like, see how motorcycles are in the future in this movie?
Yeah.
They're very silent because everyone's, like a wink, like, everyone's just being respectful.
So your perfect utopia world is one nation under a groove, no motorcycles. Like, if I could just summarize it.
No motorcycles. That's a big one.
Yeah. I love it.
Well, you need the silent.
What do you think? Anything else you want to add?
Less people.
Most people say that.
Less people, but, like, you know, no, like, mass death or anything like that, you know?
No, less people naturally.
Yeah, just, like, incentive. Hopefully people kind of smarten up.
The big one happens. Most of us get swallowed up.
No, don't want anybody to die.
Oh, but even naturally?
What? That's so horrific. I hope mudslides kill a bunch of people in another country I ain't never heard of so I can have a better sandwich.
Mudslides
is natural. I want people to make the proper decision to not fucking have a bunch of
mudslides
kids.
Mudslides and earthquakes are natural.
For.
If you hope it, then you're a weirdo for sure. But don't you think nature is natural when it kills people?
I mean, what do you mean? I mean, it is nature.
Don't wish upon a star.
It is a natural event, but it's like, it's not like a beautiful thing. When nature,
no, but nature
kills
doesn't have to be beautiful. Nature is.
I've seen earthquake footage of people dying and stuff like that. Like, it's not beautiful.
You've watched it?
Sure, I've seen a ton of weird footage because I worked for a MTV show for many years that does YouTube clips. So it's
really?
So I've seen like so many different kinds of weird videos.
What's the show?
Deaths. Ridiculousness.
Oh.
Ridiculousness.
I didn't know.
It's a fun show.
Sweet.
What was I going to say? No, I don't want anybody like that. I just want people to, like, you know, wouldn't it be cool if everybody just, because that would solve nothing. If everybody died in a huge catastrophe, that's only going to make a lot of mourners happen, a lot of devastated families, and a lot less people. But, like, if there was some sort of incentive for you to just, like, make the proper life decisions, then humanity's going down a really cool path.
So, like, two generations, no babies.
That could be beautiful.
Really?
A no baby future. Well, you know what? We'll just do it like fucking like the Vulcans in Star Trek. They have Ponfar. They have sex every 7 years.
Really?
Just BJs the other time.
HJs?
Just HJs and BJs the other time. No, yeah. But like, you know, they fuck all the time, I think is the way they're retrofitting that idea, but they only breed once every 7 years.
Yeah.
Because they're just like...
Logic.
Like,
in my utopian world,
yeah, let's make sure there's resources for enough people. Like, and then they continue on with enough people to have a... But they're not trying to like just breed like a virus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of a cool thought.
Yeah.
They're just in the pursuit of, you know,
that reminded me of The Matrix when he calls Neo of a human race a virus. Do you remember that?
I mean, it's like, you know, Bill Hicks and a lot of people have definitely talked about it. I mean, it's hard not to make the comparison.
Right.
It really is. Like, yeah. Because it's just like...
Well, if you look at all, like...
We do operate
What's that
like that.
Leonardo DiCaprio movie where you look at the planet and then you can see all the lights and it looks like a growth on a thing, right?
No,
like the lights from like cities and countries.
Gatsby? Because I haven't seen this, so I'm...
No, it's like an environmental movie that he narrated.
Really?
Yeah. But he compares it to like looking like at a fungus... grow on something natural.
Of course it is. Yeah. I mean, like...
It's kind of neat, but also terrible.
Well, like, deer don't take resources out of the earth. Like, humans are very clearly, like, a bacteria. But, like, we drain, like, nutrients out of, like, where we live to, like...
So do you think that, like, something...
But we're figuring out why
why do you think humans did that? I feel like you might have some theories.
Humans did what?
Like, we became the creature that switches to being selfish and horrible to the planet. And, you know, whereas, like, every other creature seems to be harmonious. Reasonably symbiotic. Yeah,
well,
harmonious.
Well, it's because of
Do you think aliens tampered with our DNA? Yeah, about
No, 8, actually, the theory that I maybe have is that there was some sort of alien bacteria... Not any sentient alien. This is the weird
from
thing
like a meteor or something.
This is, exactly. Like that idea. There's no conscious thought that's negotiating humans, like, you know, realities on this planet. Like, it would be some sort of bacteria that, I mean, if that happens, they still haven't figured it out 100%. But I feel like it could be that. And
so
we kind of evolved, and then we, you know, develop. We're like this weird, like, ape deviation. Like, you can look at it as like evolution, but it's also this weird one, like, branch of this evolutionary tree goes off and rules the world and creates, like,
it is really
huge,
weird.
like nuclear weapons and just like space travel, like shit that shouldn't be happening almost. Like, it's an aberration. It's like killing the planet.
Yeah.
So that no other animals can live.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I feel like that's this one way we're going down.
Yeah.
But the thing that we turned on, which is like consciousness, and which is basically foresight and like hindsight on an evolutionary level, it's like the thing that allows you to throw things and hit a target and like perceive a shot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And follow through with it. It's like apes can throw stuff, but they can't like nail a fucking shot.
Yeah.
And that's what we were started doing. So we're throwing spears, we're throwing arrows, you know, developing technology, all this coming from the idea that we can perceive a fucking like angled shot.
That's what I do when I go to the zoo. I show apes how good I am at bows and arrows.
No, I thought you were going to say you set up like a little basketball hoop.
Yeah,
you just like,
I just dunk in front of apes all the time.
In front of them.
That's amazing. You're a very interested person. You read about this stuff anyways all the time.
Totally. It's probably the thing that most fascinates me because I feel like it influences my thoughts and my stand-up.
This is a really good episode. It's been very rich.
But then I think, okay, so like we've developed this way of going about, it creates like all these divisions. And it could just, evolutionary speaking, though, eventually coalesce. Like, I feel like that's just the way evolution works. It's very brutal.
Yeah.
And we're, like, killing each other. We're expanding our race. Like, we're just gluttonous. Like, we learn, like, these things. Like, humans are still kind of new. And, like, and we definitely don't have, like, any frame of reference for what we're doing, you know? Like, it's different every day, and we're just expanding. But for animals, it's very repetitious. And unless it's like switched off by human
behavior. But animals do evolve too over years, depending on their environment.
And it's usually due to like, you know,
like
getting
killed
off
their environment.
Or not fucking.
Yeah, probably right. Well, this is, I think I'm going to wrap it up.
Okay.
But you're a very smart, well-read, interesting.
I haven't quoted one book, any sources.
It's obvious that I feel like you're like me. You just dip in and out of like articles.
Yeah, I mean, we're
online.
We're just interested.
Yeah,
in the world.
But you're a very kind-hearted, funny man.
Thanks, man.
And
you're fun. You're very kind too.
Oh, thanks.
I had a lot of fun.
Well, you are actually the, you know, this is the, I forget what episode this is, but You mentioned kindness towards humanity a million times.
Yeah, I say really awful stuff during my act all the time.
Yeah.
But
so you're making up for it?
I think it's either like, yeah, like, you're like, but please. I don't think you can ever make the claim I'm saying stuff malicious, like, you know what I mean? Like, so.
No, I can see your philosophy come through in your stand up. I really, yeah, it's great. Any last thoughts? You want to promote? Yeah, your Bearable's coming out.
Yeah, it
just came out.
Yeah, I got an album out.
That was the release show I saw, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. And it's on a special thing.
It's on a specialthing.com or
I used to go on that on the Canadian board.
Oh, really?
There was a Canada section.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I used to that was years ago.
That's
yeah.
why I signed on to the label to do it, because that was like some of the first comedy albums I was getting.
Yeah.
I mean, I had like some ones before that, but that was like... I just thought that label was so pure at the beginning, like where the releases, I was just like, that one's amazing. That one's amazing. That one's amazing. Like, so I don't know. Like, I just really respected them. That's all.
Yeah. Well, it's on a special thing. I think that's cool. I released mine independently. So
nice.
Yeah.
How you doing that on your website?
It's on iTunes and Spotify and all that stuff. And it's doing really well in Canada. It's starting to spread down here. It's a year old now.
Nice. Like a virus. See,
it's disgusting. Can't stop. It's actually,
Yeah, you don't think humans are a virus? Look at MySpace and Facebook.
I know.
Tell me.
God.
Tell me or not. anyway.
But yeah, no, I didn't want to talk about, bring that up just up. About mine. But I think it's, it's great. Your album's out. And are you still working on this show?
On Ridiculousness?
Yeah.
I do the punch up at the end session. So I'm doing a little bit of that right now. And I work on... some other shows. The Eric Andre show, which was really fun.
Oh, and you're very funny on Twitter.
Thanks, man. That's really nice of you.
Oh, come on. You know it.
That's really nice.
It's really funny. You're one of my faves to follow.
I do enjoy it.
So follow Hampton on Twitter. I'm going to promote that in the outro anyways. But that's it. I think we had an amazingly fun afternoon in the sun conversation.
Fun in the sun, dude.
Yeah. All right, came back around.
Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks so much. You too.
Bye.
Okay, everyone, that was episode 31 with Hampton Yount. Hampton, thanks so much again for coming on and being a guest. It was a really fun time hanging out with you in this nice little house in Silver Lake. And also, guys, follow him on Twitter at Hampton Yount. To honestly, like I was saying on the podcast, his tweets are super funny. One of my favorites to check out when I do actually read the feed. You know, do you actually read the feed? If you do, read it sometimes if you follow the right people. You know what I mean? And his album's out. Hampton's one of the right people. It's called Bearable on a Special Thing Records. And check that out. Check us out at Utopia to Me. And check me out at Chris Lock Fun. I'm not going to talk much more because that's the end. And it was a nice, juicy, delicious podcast. And I hope you guys, your ears enjoyed it. I hope whether you were lying on the grass, you got up and you're going to go get some lemonade now and go back out on the grass and keep watching the planes fly by, because it is relaxing. And, you know, where are those people going? You know what I mean? Where are you going? Either way, always come back. Keep checking out Utopia to Me. You're the best. Thanks again. Bye. We'll be right back.